Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now, as he does every Monday and every Friday, here on Inside Wisconsin Sports, our guy Andy Herman. Follow him at Andy Herman NFL and the Pack of Day podcast on the Twitter. Andy, how are you, man?
I'm fantastic, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing super good. Wisconsin Sports Radio Network guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Josh, you're good.
I'm good.
I'm good. Andy's good.
Well, and good.
I'm over the Rodgers stuff now, okay?
Like, I knew it was coming. He's not. Andy, he's not.
I'm totally over it.
He's so lying to himself.
It's Friday. We've talked about it all week.
We have talked about it all week.
Let's play football. Okay? So, how much... to put this to bed, is this Rodgers thing going to come up on Sunday? And is it really going to have a major effect on the game? Or is this just a bunch of fodder?
It'll come up a lot on the broadcast. It's going to come up, of course, I mean, through the remainder of this week, today, tomorrow, Sunday, etc. All the pregame shows. It's a big storyline. It's a big narrative. It's not a great week of games. There's only two games between winning teams. And the other one is Bills-Panthers. So, like, this is going to get a ton of attention. And anytime you have a storyline like this, it's going to bump to the top of everything. I'll say this. I think the really cool aspect of this, I have 1,000,000% believe Aaron when he says this is not a revenge game. Steelers Jets was a revenge game. That was a revenge game for him. He wanted to beat the crap out of the Jets. Don't get me wrong. He wants to beat the Packers. He wants to beat the 32nd team. He wants to beat the team that traded him away. He'll be extra motivated. He's going to want to do really well in this one. But I don't think it's a revenge game. And I give a lot of credit to everybody sort of involved here. Going back even to the time of the trade, I think everyone handled that divorce about as well as you could possibly have a situation like that. You had Mark Murphy say complicated fella. You got Aaron a little bit upset once the trade wasn't going through immediately and he just kind of wanted it finalized. Outside of that, the actual divorce itself went about as smoothly as it could possibly go. You can tell Aaron harbors no ill will, at least, you know, outwardly. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, bitterness towards Brian Gutekunst or something that he's harboring inside or whatever. But I think if you were to put Aaron on a lie detector test and say, are you wanting revenge in this game? Or would you ask him if, like, is this just, you know, you want another win? You want to get the Steelers a win and try to get them to the playoffs? I think he would legitimately tell the truth and say, I just want to win. I want to get the Steelers a win and try to get us to the playoffs. So I do think this matters more. I do think it's a good storyline. I mean, these are what you sort of get hyped up for on a Sunday night football game when you've got a legend like this facing his former team. I remember, this is really going to freaking age me. I remember watching Joe Montana the first time as a Chief going up against the 49. I remember, and it was like, that was a story. It was awesome. So no, I think that these things are, I think these things are awesome, but to me, once the game starts, it's all going to be, you know, what's actually happening and going on the field.
Andy, since we're definitely not done talking about the Aaron Rodgers stuff, as Trevor just mentioned, we did a poll question that we put up yesterday of just simply said, Rodgers? Yes or no? to kind of get just people's overall feelings on where they are on Rodgers now. And it came back 70% yes, 30% no. Is that surprising to you?
I'm sorry, 70% yes, it was. What was the premise?
Yes, Rodgers. Rodgers. Just yes. Yes to Rodgers. 30% no to Rodgers.
That it's, I'm sorry, what, just in general?
Literally,
just,
yes, the question was one word. Rodgers.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, yes or no? Yeah, no, to even kind of expand upon that a little bit more, I think if this game is in Green Bay, I think he gets his flowers. I don't think this is a Brett Favre situation where he's getting booed by
the... I agree with you, dude. I agree.
I think it's closer to Chris Middleton than it is to what happened to Brett Favre when he returned. I will also go further and say, I think if Brett Favre returned as a Jet, it would have been the same thing. When Brett Favre returned as a Viking, that's when everything... I mean, I remember wholeheartedly cheering for Brett as a Jet. In fact, the Packers, if they would have got to the Super Bowl, the Jets would have got to the Super Bowl and he played 70% of the snaps, the Packers would have got a first-round pick instead of a third-round pick in that draft. So there was even more incentive to cheer for the Jets that year. So no, I think he would have received a great ovation if Aaron was coming back to Green Bay this weekend. I'm sure 70-30 feels honestly just about right with that poll. About who would probably be supporting him still. But no, I think this has been very amicable, and I think the fans are in the same sort of boat. And I think, you know, Aaron this week has been great talking about Suamico and Chives and Piggly Wiggly. I think the amount of animosity here between any party is very, very minimal.
Yeah, almost like
I completely
just
agree.
Just like all right, Trevor.
I do not agree. And that's okay. You know what?
I've missed the pre-premise, Trevor. So
he is salty.
You're sick of the entire Rodgers storyline, would be my guess. And yep. You think that if Rodgers came back to Green Bay, it would be more booze than cheers.
I do. And the whole week has been me just kind of complaining about Rodgers, which I was like on Monday, you know what? I don't want to complain about Rodgers. And then I complain about Rodgers literally every day. So I'm doing great.
Yep.
Doing great.
He's killing it.
Josh and I talked about this earlier. There are things that happen with players on the field that we would never even think about them off the field. Like Jordy Nelson, I said. Do we love Jordy Nelson? Absolutely love Jordy Nelson. Well, what were some of the things that Jordy said off the field? Literally nothing. Aaron Jones plays for the Vikings. Do we love Aaron Jones?
Yes, sir.
Love Aaron Jones. Doesn't matter that he plays for the Vikings. Why? Because he said nothing off the field. Aaron Rodgers, apparently I'm in the 30%. I just can't. If we were only to view the player on the field, nobody would have any opinion. But it's all the off-the-field stuff. And then Matt LaFleur comes out in his presser earlier this week, and we played it on the show. I edited the word Rodgers out of everything that he said, and all he did for a minute and a half was tell you how amazing a quarterback is in the NFL with all of these stats and all of his ability to sling it and all of it. And then I said, if you heard that soundbite, who wouldn't want that guy on your team? Oh, it's Rodgers. Well, the Packers didn't and the Jets didn't. So therefore, there's something about this that I just don't think is as forward-facing as I would have expected it to be, that who wouldn't want that quarterback on their team? And there's just reasons. So, you know what? Hopefully Monday morning, it doesn't matter.
Okay, a couple things. The first thing is, I think at the time it happened, the vast majority of people, fans, the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers were ready for that divorce to happen. Like, it was just time. And that sometimes that's okay. That, especially in sports. Like, I think the Packers were a little bit sick of Rodgers. I think Rodgers was a little bit sick of the Packers, you know, and they drafted a first-round quarterback. I think that all played a factor into it at the time. I don't think that necessarily diminishes the previous accolades for MVP, Super Bowl, etc. I also think the Packers were kind of the ones that kicked it off when they drafted Jordan Love. Also, the Packers, just all off-field stuff aside, they made the right decision. I mean, Jordan Love at his age and the way that he is playing quarterback right now, he's just outplaying Aaron just in general, but also he's younger. And, you know, obviously Aaron had the torn Achilles after, they didn't know that at the time. But when you go with an aging quarterback, you know that some of that stuff is the possibility. So Green Bay just made the right decision. Now, New York, they made the wrong decision. I'm sure that there was some other stuff that went into that as well. But I think the best thing that happened to Aaron was probably New York, you know, moving on so he could go to Pittsburgh and get in a better situation. If Aaron were playing for the New York Jets this year, I think that would be a miserable situation for him. I don't think he's improving that record. I think that Jets team is just complete sunken cost. I don't think there's anything that he could have done to change that. They probably maybe have one or two wins instead of, you know, none, but it would have been a nightmare scenario. So I think the Jets actually made the mistake by going in that direction. And I think the Steelers were smart to pick him up. I'll go a step further. I think the team that's probably that looks the worst right now is the Minnesota Vikings. For all the conversations that they had in the offseason with one Aaron Rodgers to say, we don't want you, Daniel Jones. We don't want you, Sam Darnold. We don't want you, Aaron Rodgers. We're just going to go with J.J. McCarthy and push all our chips in the table. We'll get Sam Howell as an insurance policy because we've got a quarterback whisperer as a head coach. We can make J.J. McCarthy great. We can make Sam Howell really good again. And then all of a sudden you've got a beat up Carson Wentz and nothing to show for it. And that team is going to be brutal. Not to just bash on the Vikings out of nowhere, but that's a fun transition, right?
I'm cool with that. Let's bash on the Vikings out of nowhere. I'm totally down with that. All right. So there's a defensive story here this weekend. Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, and not a lot of time has been spent on that. Who has the edge, pun intended, Parsons or Watt?
Parsons, no question. Watt isn't quite the same player that he was. He's still really freaking good, so don't, you know, get it too twisted. The thing about Parsons is you can move him anywhere, whereas Watt predominantly stays on one side of the field. But what I will say is the player that does not get mentioned right now that is playing out of his mind is Nick Herbig, the defensive end, the former Wisconsin Badger for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has been unbelievable. Just a pure speed rusher that is a terror off the edge in obvious passing downs. I know everyone's not a huge fan of PFF right now. He's in the top five or six of defensive ends in PFF, and you watch him and it passes the eye test incredibly quick. So you add if you get into some third and long situations in this game and you're worried just about TJ Watt on one side and you're chipping him and helping Zach Tom a little bit, and you've got Herbig just, you know, racing off the edge against Rashid Walker, that can be a problem too. So not to say that Rashawn Gary, you know, can't cause some havoc of his own. We saw the big force fumble last week, but these are both teams that are going to want to get in third and manageable situations, because if you're in third and long, these edge rushers are going to make it a very, very long day for you.
Andy, as we've watched this Packers team play, it's been very confusing so far this season on how to feel and what to think and predict how the games are going to go. But one consistency has kind of been that they've played to the competition. You know, besides, I guess, that first week against Detroit, it's kind of been, you know, close games and you're just kind of playing the same way as your opponent. What do you see as the main difference maker this week that breaks that consistency for the Packers?
Yeah, this is a pretty simple one for me. This gets down to run blocking and running the football. Well, we could talk turnovers as well. I still think that's an important aspect, but that goes into pretty much any game. To me, for all the angst and anxiety and frustration and everything about play calling, if on some of those play calls, they just actually run the ball better and it gets blocked better up front, all of a sudden Matt LaFleur looks a whole heck of a lot better. Now, there is absolutely the aspect of if your run game is not working and you continue to call run plays, including some really mind scratching ones in weird situations, that's still on the play caller. But if they block it up better, it's going to look a whole heck of a lot better. So to me, this run blocking unit has not been anywhere near good enough. Josh Jacobs doesn't need a ton of space to make things happen. You just need to give him little slivers, little creases, not have two guys exploding into the backfield right after the snap. And Jacobs is going to kind of make the rest happen. So if all of a sudden, this is going to be a good passing team, I think, all year long. We're not going to get another Brown situation as long as the offensive line stays healthy. They're better in pass protection than that. I think the defense is going to continue to play better than what they showed these last couple weeks. I don't think that that's going to be the norm. But to me, if they start running the football, they're going to be balanced on offense. You're going to start seeing 30-point performances. It's going to put more pressure on the opposing offense. And I think that's where you're going to see more obvious passing situations, more turnovers. I think everything just starts to click. And I think in this game, especially like we talked about with TJ Watt, Nick Herbig, and this group of edge rushers for Pittsburgh, Derek Harmon on the interior, Cam Hayward on the interior, you want to stay out of third and long situations. To me, it's going to be paramount that you run the ball. Even Cincinnati, who's terrible at running the ball, was able to get some good yardage against Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football. So get Josh Jacobs in that running game going, and you're going to start playing some really great football overall.
Andy Herman from the Pack-A-Day podcast joins us on Inside Wisconsin Sports with Trevor and Josh. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I don't care if it's X. It will forever be Twitter. Does that age me? I don't know.
No, I agree.
You can also follow the Pack a Day podcast at Pack a Day podcast. All right, one more for me. Josh and I have, I don't know, accidentally come up with these poll questions for our at WI Sports Radio, Wisconsin Sports Radio Network account on Twitter. The first one was what, Josh?
Was NBA, wasn't
it? NBA? And it was 70-30, no. Yesterday, Rodgers? 70-30, yes. Early reports on today's poll question means that I'm going to be buying him some steak. So here's what happened. We made a friendly wager that I thought Rodgers was going to get interception happy this weekend, and he thinks one at the most.
Now, hold on. To be fair, what you said was Aaron Rodgers is not going to have a good game. He said under 200 yards passing, two interceptions, and one touchdown. That's what he said for his stat line. I went, I don't see that happening at all. And I said, let's put a bet on it. And he said, well, let's pick one thing. What do you think's most likely not to happen out of what I predicted? And that got us to the interceptions.
So I think he's going to throw two. Maybe more, but probably not. But I think he's going to throw two. He thinks, Josh, no chance. Like one at the most. And so I said, all right. And now, ironically, all of this happened while we were talking with Jeff Levering. How? No idea.
No clue.
ADHD, that's how. And so we said, all right, well, if Rodgers throws two picks, then Josh has to go pick up Jeff Levering and come up to Green Bay and take me out for steak at Republic Chop House.
Love it.
If he only throws one interception, I have to go pick up Jeff Levering on my way down to Milwaukee and take those guys out to Henry Fox. Jeff had nothing to do with this bet. I feel like that's fairly important information in today's professional sports landscape.
He just happened to be passing by and got caught in the conversation.
And he goes, this is perfect. So what say you, Andy Herman? Interceptions, Rodgers under 1.5, or Rodgers over 1.5?
I am all in Rodgers under 1.5. I would be pretty stunned. This is the most risk-averse quarterback in the history of the world, and he just threw two a week ago, which is going to eat at him. Probably, like, he'll be thinking of that two interception game against the Bengals last week, probably for years still. It'll be eating at him. It's against a team he wants to play really well against. To your point, Trevor, I do think maybe there is just a little bit of a, you know, maybe he tries to push to do something a little bit too much, but I think that probably gets him to maybe one interception. I'd be pretty surprised if there was two. The Packers are due for a 2-3 interception game and just to get some turnovers in bunches. They are due for that. I just don't see this being the game. I think Rodgers has a good game. I think it's probably right around the 200 yards. I would say, you know, somewhere between one and two touchdowns, but I think one interception at most.
That's where my opinion came from on this, was I think that the Packers might get out to a lead and Rodgers is going to feel very pressured.
Desperate.
To get points on the board. And so if a desperate Aaron Rodgers starts slinging it all over the place like he's capable of, and the Packers are due for some turnovers on the defensive side.
Yeah,
Yeah. All right, we'll see how it shakes out.
Listen, now here's my fear. Everyone is agreeing with me. I kind of needed it to be a little bit more even split. Everyone's like, I don't see how this could happen. Now I got
There's
bad
only 36
feelings.
Votes so far.
Now I got a bad feeling.
I think Andy just voted.
No, oh, boy.
94.4% say under 1.5 for Rodgers. Only 5.6% say over. Listen, as superstitious as Josh is,
yes, I am.
That's why he doesn't like this. All right, before we let you go, Andy, give us a prediction, yeah?
I'm actually taking the Steelers, I think, in this one. I have a bad feeling about this game. Yeah. That's good talk, guys. So this is perfect because you guys can just copy this soundbite and play it for me on Monday, on Victory Monday, when the Packers have won and be like, you idiot, remember this? Remember this hot take you had?
Yeah.
Aaron
Rodgers throws four picks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, both things. Packers haven't won in Pittsburgh since 1970. The Bart Starr, we've all heard that all week. Weird things happen in Pittsburgh. It's just six games. It's not like they go play there every year or whatever. But weird things tend to happen. I think Aaron's going to be extra motivated. I think some of the things that the Packers do very poorly, including stopping tight ends, big wide receivers, quick throwing quarterbacks, are all evident in this game. The edge rushers for Pittsburgh really scare me, and I'm not super confident still in this Packers running attack. So add in the potential turnover battle where Jordan is usually good for, you know, putting one in harm's way, and the Steelers take away anything in their vicinity. This one just gives me a little bit of fear and trepidation, and I don't necessarily feel great. I know Haversick's been great, and maybe McManus is kicking. I just the Steelers are really great in special teams too, and I think that could end up potentially costing Green Bay. So there's just a lot of little things that add up to this one, but I really hope I'm wrong. I think it's going to be a really fun game, and certainly Green Bay has every right to go down there and win this game.
Boom. At Andy Herman, NFL on Twitter, and the Pack a Day podcast every Monday and every Friday. Andy joins us to break down the Packers. We'll chat with you, buddy, on Monday, and we'll see how it goes.
Can't wait. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Andy.
See you, buddy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.